Our coverage of the Greek debt crisis continues in a few minutes with a look at lessons Germany might have learned from the last 60 years in Europe. But we go now to Greece, where they are waiting for the folks in Brussels to make a deal and for their own banks to open. In the city of Katerini, 90,000 people in the northeastern part of the country, and one of them is Stefanos Parastadidis, owner of an electronics store. How are things going there, Stefanos?
It's a little bit weird at the moment. People are very uncertain about the future, and it is safe to say that they are afraid.
So you're just basically waiting for the banks to open, right?
Exactly. I mean, we have reduced our orders so we can deal with everyday expenses. You know, there has been a small drop on sales, but this is understandable. You know, people have to first cover the things at home.
Stefanos, give your best pitch for tourists not to stay away, even though all they're hearing about is this crisis.
The best way to help Greece at the moment is just visit Greece.
Waiting, like everyone, in Greece, Stefanos Parastadidis is owner of an electronic store in Katerini, Greece. European leaders, you might say, are on Greek time this week. Following the weekend referendum, the Greek government is going to make sure it is able to offer realistic proposals this time around so that the debt crisis can be addressed once and for all. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras addressed the European Parliament in Strasbourg, France today.
We are determined not to have a clash with Europe, but to tackle head-on the establishments in our country and to change the mindsets which have taken us and taken the Eurozone down.
Greece has requested a 3-year bailout from the Eurozone's rescue fund and has committed to start implementing some of the overhauls demanded by creditors by early next week. Athens has been given until Sunday to come up with a full reform plan in return for loans that will keep the country from having to leave the euro and find another currency. Constanze Stelzenmüller is the Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Constanze, what is the perspective of Germany on this, if you could sum it up for us?
Well, I think we have to make a distinction between the German government and the German public, although there is a significant overlap, I will say that. Chancellor Merkel and her finance minister, Wolfgang Schäuble, are taking a fairly stiff position on this and have throughout the crisis, which is that they want to see a real, significant and credible reform package before they're willing to extend debt and consider relief packages. They're also, I think, have been very upset with the, it has to be said, antics, particularly of the previous finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis.
Isn't there a broad historical perspective here for Germany in the sense that post-World War II, it was all about debt forgiveness. It was all about generous terms for financing, et cetera, to stimulate the German economy. A different situation, to be sure, than Greece. But I'm wondering if there's a lesson here that the Germans are missing, a lesson that even is relevant in the absorption of East Germany much, much more recently.
You know, I think you can assume that the Germans know their own country's history. And the arguments that the Germans are making, I would like to say outright, I'm critical of the Eurozone's and my own German government's rigidity and lack of flexibility over the past 4 years. I think that there should have been an adaptation of the reforms asked of Greece when it became clear just how fragile the country's state structures were and just how deep the corruption and dysfunctionality went, okay? Just to make that very clear. But I do think that it is slightly misses the point to harp on Germany's history after the war. The situation just, in my view, isn't comparable. And the other thing, if I may say so, I've just spent a month in Europe, the entire month of June. I was in Sweden, in Greece, in Poland, and in Germany. And if you think the Germans are the tough ones on this one, you should hear the Swedes, the Norwegians, the Lithuanians, the Poles, and others who are incredibly upset with the Greeks and are saying, we went through these rigorous austerity programs because and these reform programs because we knew we had these, you know, dysfunctional post-communist state structures, certainly in East Europe. And we knew we needed to change that. And we knew we needed to adapt to make ourselves less vulnerable. So I think, you know, the Germans are actually the ones trying to hold this together. I was told over and over and over again in other countries in Europe in my travels, why don't you just throw the Greeks out? And I would say, listen, that is not how Europe works. I mean, in the end, it has to be solidarity. And I do think you should give the German government credit at least for wanting that, for being very clear on that. And I personally think there will be some debt relief in the end, and there certainly will be growth programs.
Some fascinating insights offered to us right now by Konstanz Stelzenmüller, who's the Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at Brookings. Are the sacrifices that are to come not politically viable, as far as you can tell, or is it just going to be a lot of noise and then things will settle down?
Look, my personal take on this is that with a degree of loss of trust, animosity, anger, a sense of humiliation and shame on both sides, I would like to add, of this conflict, I think this is, we can only imagine a lasting peace, and this is a little bit like settling a war, a lasting peace if there are excruciatingly painful sacrifices made by both sides. So the Greeks are going to back down from their contention that they have no reforms to undertake. They're going to have to make a credible promise, and the Germans and the rest of Europe will have to back down from their rigidity and say, okay, we'll cut you some slack in ways that maybe we didn't cut the others. But the thing to not forget here, and that I think is important for your listeners in America, is that all of the European leaders on the other side of the table from the Greeks have domestic populist movements, extremist movements who are thrilled by the prospect of a challenge to the European project, its legitimacy, validity, social fairness, and who are going to town on this. And some of them are, you know, right-wing, and some of them are fascist, like Francis Marine Le Pen, who congratulated Tsipras after the no referendum. That is, I would suggest, not the kind of company you want to keep in Europe.
Konstanz Stelzenmüller is Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Konstanz, thanks so much.
Thank you. Pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.